you, and I will be presenting data that we took on the Barry Sands and their erodibility at Purdue University. First, what is a bunker? Bunkers are hazards consisting of a prepared area of ground where the turf and soil was removed and replaced by sand. Sand is any soil particle that is less than 2 millimeters in diameter. And it's a very important part of a golf course. As you can see from the picture, the two circles on the top are bunkers that we call greenside bunkers. They are around putting greens. They usually are smaller in area than fairway bunkers, which is your lower right circle. And bunkers add aesthetic beauty. They can help outline a golf hole and add challenge to the skilled golfers. Numerous sand sizes and shapes are available and add challenge to skilled golfers. The sand may be chosen based on subjective characteristics, such as appearance. Many golf course architects love the bright white sand to give a contrasting view of a golf course hole. Sands can also be chosen based on their functional characteristics, how a particular golfer perceives the sand to play. If it's firm enough or too soft, golfers typically can't hit a golf ball when their ball is buried underneath sand. However, the long-term consequences of these decisions on a cost basis may not be immediately realized until it may be too late. The many man-hours that are required to maintain a bunker that washes out and continuously needs to be raked can become very expensive. In today's world, it's becoming increasingly popular to design large bunkers with steep faces. The sheer size and constant risk of washouts offer maintenance concerns and tough situations. So what do the golf course managers look at when they look at bunkers and their sand sizes or their sand choices? Well, they want a sand that does not easily erode. When they come into their golf course after a small amount of irrigation or minimal rainfall and they see this, they realize that they're going to lose a lot of their workers for the day to repair that. One that drains quickly. Sending your workers out to pump bunkers, then repair the steep slopes can lead to unhappy workers as well as other projects not getting done. Maintain the playing characteristics. When a golfer plays out of a bunker, he or she can leave huge footprints or where they've hit the ball, and that's not good for the next golfer coming through. And the next one, if you have a USGA putting root zone, you don't want to be throwing the sand that is going to change that composition over time in a certain area right next to a bunker. So in a previous study, we looked at the physical characteristics of 20 sands. We basically looked at what physical characteristics of sands make it suitable for golf course bunkers. So in this study, we wanted to take the information that we had learned and compare four of them, choose four, and put them on a moderate slope and see how those physical characteristics have to do with the erodibility of the sand. And then second, once we found the sands that typically are very, very problematic sand, we would try to minimize the erosion potential of that sand by using fabric underlayments. So basically, we took the four sands, Tour Grade 535, Pro Angle, Crushed Limestone, and Autumn Gold. We chose these because they have a wide variety, wide range of physical characteristics. Here you can see the physical characteristics, the particle size distribution of these sands. And first, Tour Grade 535 and Autumn Gold, their particle size was in the medium fine or medium particle sizes. And the higher you go on this table, the more coarse the sand particle is, and the lower you get, the more fine the particle is. Next, the Crushed Limestone was a very coarse sand. Pro Angle had the widest distribution of sand particle sizes that we chose. Something important I don't want to miss from that is the coefficient uniformity. It has the ability for a sand to pack. The higher that value, the less uniform it will pack. And the accepted value was 2 to 4. Now there it is right there. And the gradation index indicated the potential for surface instability, and the acceptable ranges were 3 to 6. So we had a wide range of particle sizes, and we had a wide range of coefficient uniformity and gradation indices. Another important physical characteristic of these sands was the angle of repose. Basically, the angle of repose is the maximum angle at which a particular sand should be at. So if an angle of repose is 30.3 degrees, that sand should not be placed on a slope higher than 30.3 degrees, or it could be very susceptible to erosion. Looking at some of the angularity and angle of repose values, we see that Tor grade 535 and autumn gold were very subangular particle sands and had a much lower angle of repose than that of crushed limestone and pro angle. So we took the sands and we tightly packed them into these trays at to a depth of 7.6 centimeters. We fully saturated the sands and we had holes to allow for some subsurface drainage. This study design was a complete random design with a minimum of 3 reps per slope and sand. Before we ran each tray or each replication of the sands, we would take the volumetric water content from the bottom of the tray all the way to the top of the tray. And the important numbers here are looking at the bottom, which is the bottom of the trays, and we saw that pro angle was the driest sand after 24 hours of letting it sit overnight. Autumn gold was the wettest. So we would look at this and we would say that autumn gold and Tor grade 535 would probably reach saturation quicker, therefore lead to erosion in a much faster way than pro angle would, as it is much drier at the beginning of the rainfall simulation. Here's a typical setup that we did. We take the tightly packed sand on the trays, we put it at the angle that we wanted it, we would wet them, leave them for 24 hours, and then the next day, take the volumetric water content, and then we would run the samples. We used the rainfall simulator to give us 10 centimeters per hour continuously for 30 minutes at the National Soil Research Erosion Laboratory in West Lafayette, Indiana. Here, this is how we took the collection. We took runoff and sediment collection every 4 minutes for the first 12 minutes and every 2 minutes for the last 18 minutes. And that was because we had increased runoff sediment loss after that 14-minute time period. So first we wanted to look at the four sands at a moderate angle of 25 degrees below the angle at repose that was reported for all these sands. And what we found was the x-axis reported the time we took we collected the runoff samples, and then the y-axis shows the sediment loss rate at which we calculated for these sands. And for the first 15 minutes, we didn't see much difference between these sands. It took a while for them to get fully saturated, but once they did, we saw that autumn gold and Tor grade 535 had a rapid increase in loss of sediment and soil loss rate, much more than the crushed limestone pro angle. So the total sediment loss, we saw that autumn gold and Tor grade 535 had the most amount of sediment loss out of all of them, and they were subangular sand, and the pro angle limestone had the lowest, and remember, those were the very angular sands that we had chosen. So you can see from this this picture that the sands that had the highest amount of water saturation at the beginning of the rainfall simulation were the ones that moved to quicker soil loss than the other ones, where you had pro-angle limestone that tend to be a little drier at the beginning of the study or at the beginning of the run, and autumn gold and Tor grade 535 were very wet at the beginning of the run. And you can see that most of the sand came out of the trays as we ran the simulated. So once we identified the sand that was the most problematic, we saw that autumn gold had the most sediment loss. So we decided to put it to the test at four different angles. Three angles or 3 degrees of slope below its angle at repose and one above its angle at repose. The autumn gold at 7.5, 15, and 25 degrees kind of stayed consistent with each other throughout the simulation, but the 40 degrees slope, the angle way above its angle at repose, tended to have high amount of sediment loss and soil loss rate, which we would expect in this situation. So looking at the total sediment loss for this sand, while 40 degrees had the most sediment loss as compared to the 7.5, 15, and 25 degrees, this still is a sand that has a lot of sediment loss, no matter what. So this sand really shouldn't be used on any type of, in a situation where bunkers have steep slopes, because any type of slope, you're going to have moderate sediment loss after rainfall. So a picture like this is a flat bottom bunker, and this would be a good situation for this type of bunker sand where you're going to have the least amount of slopes for the sand. So how do we, what if that golf course, that golf course architect or manager or that member on the greens committee says, I really love autumn gold. I love this type of sand. It plays well. I like the color. And they really just want to have it. Well, what can we do to help try to reduce that erosion potential of that sand? Well, many golf course managers are incorporating the use of fabrics. And what they do is they take these fabrics, place them underneath the sand, and that helps hold the sand in place on steep slopes. So we put the fabric underneath the sand, we packed it in exactly like we did before, we followed all the same procedures, and we ran it at a 40 degree angle at the problematic slope. And we saw that, once again, we had very little variability at the beginning, but once it became fully saturated, that autumn gold with no fabric had the highest amount of sediment or soil loss rate as compared to the autumn gold with the fabric, which had minimal loss. So without the fabric, we had 6,100 grams lost as compared to the fabric, which only had 46, a substantial decrease. However, the problem that we saw is once we took the sand off, we saw that sand had migrated through the fabric. So that is contamination, and it's unclear how long before this fabric is rendered ineffective after many times of erosion and repacking it with sand. So we just don't know how long you can use this fabric until it needs to be replaced. So fabric can substantially reduce your erosion. That's what we found. But if it's improperly maintained or incorrectly installed, it can become an eyesore and have bad playability. So proper sand selection is important when you're picking your sands for your bunkers. Key sand characteristics for our first objective, looking at the physical characteristics and how they react with steep slopes, we saw the coarse particles, the angular particle sands, tended to be able to bind together much easier, hold together, and stay on the steep slopes as compared to subangular and the medium fine sands. The fabric underlayments, they help reduce erosion, but we don't know the long-term consequences. So here, in just summary, we saw that the limestone, the pro angle with its angular and high angle of repose and coarse particle size had the least amount of erosion, and these would be much better on steep slopes. I just want to thank the USGA, the MRTF, and the USGA for helping funding this project. And at this time, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have about it.
Looking at some of these, especially the greenside bunkers,
yes,
because they're splashed out on the greens, mm-hmm. Looking to consider how some of these sands would behave or influence those greens perimeters right next to the bunkers.
No, we did not evaluate how sands would react on the greens, but I know that using the wrong size particles from the root zone that you already have can change the composition over time and make moisture. Controlling moisture content on the putting rate can be very difficult. And then also, the more coarse the particles, more tendency to damage mowers and the blades of the mowers. So there's a catch-22 to everything, but it's really where the maintenance is going to be the longest, most costly. No, I did not get the opportunity. Not on these sands, at least. Yes, sir. No, we weren't. We didn't. We never separated those two out to try to look at what influence the angularity had versus the coarseness of the sand, the particle size. Except that the sands that were both angular and had coarse particle sizes just helped that they were able to pack tighter together and stay up on the slopes as compared to the subangular, but not separated out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.